அப்புறம்
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من لم يتغن بالقرآن رواه البخاري وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الحمد لله it is an honor to be amongst you in this auspicious gathering where we speak about the Quran, the Kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's final message to humanity via the final messenger and to the best of nations. Most certainly, this Quran, the importance of it, and the greatness of this Quran and the final message is known by one and all. Very specifically, in this Ummah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has allowed us to be able to memorize the entire Quran by heart. This is a very great miracle, to be able to memorize the entire Quran. Quran is Allah Ta'ala's kalam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran, he states, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الْجَبَلْ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا. If we had to bring down the Quran upon a mountain, you would find that the mountain would burst in pieces. خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, because of the fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that which the mountain, as strong as a mountain, could not hold, the heart of a human being can hold the Quran. And the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine the most latif part of your body, of your organs is the heart. In all aspects, spirituality, even physically. But that heart, which is so latif, so delicate, you say something very slightly harsh to a person, he feels bad, because the heart is soft in every way. There is a poet, he says, جراحات السهام لها التيام ولا يلتام ما جرح اللسان. He says, if someone had to throw an arrow at you and wound you, you would bleed and then you would get cured. And finally, the effects of it would also be gone. But if someone had to throw arrows with words that affects your heart, that never has a cure. You can never cure it. Those are such arrows. And because the heart is so soft, so delicate, upon that heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings down the Quran, puts the Quran. And these little children, they are able to memorize the Quran. You know, the difference between the previous books and the Quran, one of the reasons why there was always a possibility of distortion and misuse and change to the previous books, but not possible in the Quran, there's definitely a reason for that. All of them are definitely the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But you see, Allah Ta'ala does not need words to speak. Does he need words to speak? The original kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not comprising of words and sentences and huruf, letters. We need words to speak. We as human beings, I have to say alif, ba, ta, tha. I have to say that because that's how I communicate. An animal also communicate. They communicate one among one another. They don't use these words. Allah knows how they communicate. Angels also communicate. They have their different ways of communications, right? There are certain creations of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that communicate just through the waves that are in the air. That's how they communicate. So they don't have words. So this is a human sifat, quality, trait, to communicate with words. But actually, there's a poet, he says, إِنَّ الْكَلَامَ لَفِي الْفُؤَادِ وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَ اللِّسَانُ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلًا. Speech actually is of the heart. It's the heart that speaks. It's not the tongue that speaks. The heart speaks, but the tongue, it interprets what's in the heart. So this is what you call a lie, that which is against what's in the heart. So you know something in your heart, but you say something other than what's in the heart. This is called a lie. So when you go in your qabr and the angel asks you, Man Rabbuk? At that time, based on your knowledge maybe, or based on your that which you know as an answer right now, even if a person is an atheist, he knows that if that had to happen to me, I would have to say, Allah is my Rabb. Not money, not the gains of dunya. These things are not my Rabb. Now you know that. Now you can probably express that, but truly isn't in your heart. That's a different story, right? So like that in the qabr, this ability to express that which, not express that which is in the tongue, but express something other than that which is in the heart. Something is in the heart, you express something else with your tongue. This ability is going to be gone when you go in your qabr. You can only express that which is in your heart. That's it. So that's why, if truly Allah was in your heart, then you would be able to express that with your tongue in your qabr. When the angel asks you, Man Rabbuk? Wa ma dinuk? Wa man nabiyuk? You can't lie at that time. You can't deceive them. Only your heart is going to speak. So the speech is actually of the heart. It's not of the tongue. The tongue is just to express that which is in the heart. So the kalam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in essence, does not have words and sentences. It doesn't need that. We are in need of that because we are ajiz. We are helpless. So the difference between the previous scriptures and the Quran is that the kalam of Allah ta'ala was put in the heart of the Nabi. And then he expressed that kalam with human words to people, according to his understanding. As a result, that mu'jiz capability, or that mu'jiz nature, that nature which Allah ta'ala's kalam has of making everyone helpless, that probably was not found in those scriptures, because the human being himself expressed those feelings, or the speech of Allah with his own words. So there was distortion, there was change. But the Quran is different, because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana. Allah, as he sends his original kalam, which is not comprising of words and sentences, in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also inspires Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam exact words to use as well, to express that mana, that kayfiyat, that condition, that kalam of Allah, speech of Allah, which actually came into his heart. It wasn't words and sentences that came in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart. Because if it was just words and sentences, but how wahi used to come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it used to be a certain ringing sound at times. It would be very difficult. Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, he says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was on my thigh, And I felt wahi started coming, and I felt my thigh was going to burst. It was so heavy. If he was sitting on a camel, then the camel would sit down because the kalam of Allah is coming. And not out of respect, but camel cannot hold the weight. The kalam of Allah is weighty. It's very, very weighty, which no one besides the heart of a human being can handle. So the fact that a human being is able to memorize the kalam of Allah, the entire kalam, entire Quran, to be able to memorize these words and sentences which denote the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is a humongous miracle. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is just one small medium which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses to preserve the Quran. So the previous scriptures, they changed. A lot of things changed. But the Quran still remained as it was said by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So, like I was saying, it is a blessing actually that we have such youngsters, youth, that are memorizing the Quran these days. There was once upon a time in the USA, we'd have to import huffaz and bring them from other countries. Not very long ago. Not very long ago. A couple of years back, maybe 10 years ago, we wouldn't have so many huffaz. Now, mashallah, every masjid has, almost every masjid, not every masjid, but a lot of the masjid have Hafiz program, mashallah. And students are memorizing Quran and they're so beautifully reciting Allahu Akbar, one ayat after one ayat. They're reciting tilawat and they're memorizing the whole Quran. This is a miracle. Every non-Muslim that hears that this little child memorized the whole Quran is mind blows, mind blowing. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. The Quran is such a great kalam, such a great bounty of Allah. It's such a great thing that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala takes such a heavy oath in the Quran. He says, I take oath of the positions of the stars. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. Mawaqi'un nujum means the positions of the stars. If the stars wasn't positioned the way they were, there would be collision. Destruction would take place. It's very, very necessary that each star is positioned in its place. Like that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. This is a very great qasam, if you only understood. It's a very, very heavy qasam, heavy oath that I'm taking. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. What is the maqsam? The jawab of qasam is that certainly this is that Qur'an which is honorable. This Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. This is the honorable kalam of Allah. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ. This Qur'an has come to you and it's written in the hidden tablet, hidden book. Kitab means maktub, that which was written in Lawh-e Mahfuz. It was from there, then brought down to the malaika, to the seven skies from Lawh-e Mahfuz. And thereafter, ayat by ayat, it was brought down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fi kitabin maknoon. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahhar. Only the people who are very pure, they should touch it. A person who is not pure should not touch this Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal is explaining to us the greatness and the highness of Quran, the kalam of Allah. Don't take it very lightly. Don't just take the Quran and just throw it like that. Don't touch it without wuzu. Don't touch it without purity. If you're in the state of having to take a bath, do not touch the Quran. So thus we also understand that the book, the kalam of Allah, although we know for sure that these words and sentences are things that we only need. Allah doesn't need these words and sentences to speak. So to say the actual kalam of Allah is not these words and sentences, the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Although that is the truth, but still this book right here that's in front of us, we have to respect it, honor it. We cannot just put it on the floor. We have to put it up. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. In Surah Al-A'la, sorry, Surah Abasa, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام برر. This Quran is very high, lofty. Don't put it on the floor. You know, some people, they have this habit of just, they have to make sajda, for example. And they're reading the Quran, and it's time to make sajda, they just put the Quran on the floor, and they make sajda. Marfu'atin mutahara. Allah himself is saying it's raised. We just put it on the floor. Raise it. Raise it above. If I'm going to sit here, don't put Quran over there in a lower level. Have Quran above. This is the value, this is the respect that is due to the Quran. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. And this is تنزيل من رب العالمين. Who's رب العالمين? Allah تبارك وتعالى is the مربي of the entire universe. All the universes. How much do we know? You know, the scientists, how much did they figure out? How much? Whatever they figured out, let's say the entire galaxy, that also, did they find out everything in the galaxy? There's no guarantee. We don't know. The entire Milky Way. But they haven't yet reached the first sky. Did they reach the first sky? They did not reach the first sky yet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Mi'raj explains that he went to the first sky and Jibreel knocked on the door. And they asked from inside, who is there? And Jibreel said, it's me, Jibreel. With me is Muhammad. And they said, oh, Muhammad already is a messenger? Yes, he is the messenger. They opened the door. Marhaban bin Nabiyyi Salih. They said, marhaba, welcome to the eligible, the deserving Nabi. Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan. So what happened here? And this happened in every sky. All right? So where is that door? The scientists don't know where it is. That means they did not reach the first sky. And they will never be able to reach the first sky. How much is in the first sky is beyond human imagination. And that first sky is like a ring in a desert compared to the second sky. And then the third sky. Second sky is like a ring in a desert compared to the third sky. And third sky is like the ring in a desert compared to the fourth sky. And so on up until the seventh sky. You know what's above the seventh sky? Allahu Akbar. It's the kursi of Allah Tabaraka. Wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal. Allah's kursi is so big that it's encompassing the entire seven skies. That's how big the kursi of Allah. In simple terms, how we define the kursi? A chair. In simple terms, kursi, we call this is a kursi right here. Kursi par baithe hue. In Urdu, right? That's how we say, kursi mein baithe hue. But this is the kursi of Allah Ta'ala. Wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal. And above the kursi is the arsh of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Kursi and arsh are two different things. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And this arsh of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is standing upon water. These are just ayat of Quran. We're not even talking about a hadith, which you can say maybe that hadith is some Israeli narrations or something. But these are ayat of Quran. Above the kursi is the arsh of Allah. And that arsh of Allah is upon water. And that arsh of Allah is being held by يَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. Eight angels are holding the arsh of Allah تبارك وتعالى. Can you imagine the size of these angels? In certain narrations, it comes that the angels are such that it will take you 500 years for you to travel from their earlobe to their neck. Can you imagine? And it doesn't end over there. Jibreel, when he took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mi'raj, he went after the arsh to Sidratul Muntaha. And after Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, look, I'm not allowed beyond this point. I can't go anymore. Was ab to aapke bari hai. It's up to you now. You walk forward. And he went. And what happened after that? فَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen Allah tabarak wa ta'ala there in Sidratul Muntaha. Do you want to know what he's seen? Allah Ta'ala says, are you going to debate with him what he's seen? It's beyond your understanding. What's happening beyond that? Sidratul Muntaha. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's creation, that which is revealed to us is this much. That which is not revealed to us and knowledge of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is unlimited. Allah is Rabbul Alameen. If he's going to give you a message, it's not going to be about making a barbecue, you know? It's not going to be about making some vegetables. And the message that this Rabb is going to give you is going to be serious. Sangeen Mamla. It's not something small. So that's why Allah Ta'ala says, I'm taking the oath of the positions of the stars that this is Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And this Quran is coming from Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of all universes. How many universes are there? Allah knows. Allah is such a mighty creator. Does he have limits? Allah has no limits. Don't think that Allah is after the Sidratul Muntaha. Don't think that. Don't think Allah has limits that na'udhu billah, he sits on his arsh like we do. Wa na'udhu billah. This is kufr. Do not think Allah has limits as in how a human being has a body and he has, you know, there is a length, there is a breadth, and there is a certain distance that you can see him from. This is against the greatness and the highness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah has no limits. Alhamdulillah alladhi laysa lahu had. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has no had, no hudud, no limitations. That mighty Allah is going to send this Quran to you. You better take it serious. It's a very humongous message. It's coming from Rabbul Alameen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to understand this. Many ulama explain, this is the ayat of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Those of us who have a habit of reciting Surah Waqi'ah after Maghrib Salah, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, he asked, what did you leave for your children? You only have daughters. He had daughters. So he said, about 8 daughters or so he had. He said, I left nothing for them besides Surah Al-Waqi'ah. I taught them Surah Al-Waqi'ah. That's sufficient for them. That's enough for them. So Surah Al-Waqi'ah, after Maghrib, if you recite, Allah Ta'ala will take care of your affairs very easily. This is the virtue of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. So we're out to read it every day after Maghrib Salah. If you read it a couple of times, trust me, it's going to be very easy. It's not a very long surah. It's probably longer than your Inna Atainaka Al-Kawthar, but it's not that long. And once you get in the habit of reading it after Maghrib, you'll memorize it in no time. It'll be in your memory. You'll finish your Maghrib Salah and you'll be going home as you're driving home. You don't need to call your friend and talk about business. Talk about business with Allah now. Read Surah Waqi'ah. As you're driving home, it'll be your habit. Surah Waqi'ah. Allah will take care of all your dunyawi affairs. Your sustenance will be very, very easy. So nevertheless, this is the last ruku' of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. مَوَاقِعُ النُّجُومِ, ulama also explained that it's referring to the positions of the ayat in the Quran. Ayat of the Quran, each ayah is regarded to be, or let's say it's explained to be a star. And the position of these ayat in the Quran also has a reason. And in fact, Al-Yawaqid, there's a book written by, some of the scholars have written books. There's a book written in 27 volumes. How many volumes? 27 volumes. In explaining why this ayat comes after this ayat, every ayat. Just to explain that. Fi tanasubil ayi wa suwar. What is the connection between why this ayat comes after this ayat? And by the way, you know, just as a side note, a lot of the times we fall behind the reasonings so bad that we're always behind hikmah and wisdom. Okay, what is the hikmah of praying 5 times namaz, for example? What is the hikmah of having the azan in this manner? So some people will explain that you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What is the wisdom? There's different letters. And these are beautiful things. It's mind-boggling at times. It makes you think. It makes you wonder. Wow, so beautiful. But don't always fall behind hikmah all the time. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullahi alayhi, those of us who heard his name, he was a very great man, a very great scholar in the recent past. He wrote a book. If you get a chance, definitely you should get a hold of this book. Ahkam Shari'at Aqal Ki Nazar Mein. He wrote this book in explaining the reasonings and the hikmah and the wisdom behind the ahkam of Sharia. So he brought every single chapter of fiqh in which he explained the ahkam in detail. Beautiful kitab. In spite of writing this book, he advised that don't fall behind hikmah all the time. Because what will happen is, when that hikmah is not found anymore, you will lose respect for that hukm. You will lose honor for that hukm. You will start to say, oh, it's not applicable anymore. Because the Sahaba, they did it because of this. Our time is different. Ta'abbud, to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in a way that we understand or we don't understand. We follow and we obey. Sami'ana wa ta'ala. In the ayat of riba, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when the mushrikeen and the people of Makkah, they said, oh, riba, you tell us not to do riba? What is the difference between riba and bayr? In other words, usury and normal transaction of bayr. Bayr means a mali transaction, a monetary transaction, you buy and sell. That's bayr. So they said, what's the difference between usury and interest and normal transactions? What is the difference? That was their question. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran, he didn't answer their question, but this is the difference. There are clear differences between riba and bayr. There are very clear differences. We all know the differences. But Allah did not, what he said, وَحَلَّ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. They're asking, what's the difference between riba, usury, and normal transactions of bayr? They're asking the difference. Whereas Allah has made riba haram and bay'a permissible. What does this mean? Allah didn't say this is the difference. He said, the fact that Allah made it haram, this is sufficient for you. Well, you need to understand why and what's the wisdom, what's the hikmah. Allah is hakim. And every single action of Allah, it's impossible that it is empty of hikmah. Remember that. It has a hikmah. Because he is hakim. If you and I don't understand that hikmah, does not mean that hukm of Allah, that rule and legislation and that injunction of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is deficient. It's our aql that is deficient. It is the aql that is limited. So in the hadith it comes, give you a practical example. In the hadith it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a result, when we start going into hikmah, a lot of the times we leave out a lot of the sunnah. A lot of the sunnah. Miswak will leave out. It's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because the purpose was to clean your mouth and we have better means to clean our mouth these days. Right? And then adhan. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told Bilal that, oh Bilal, put your fingers in your ears while giving adhan. You know, we go behind the hikmah and wisdom because it raises the voice and it allows it to reach further. When you put the fingers, as a result, today we have something that's a better means, which was just failing, by the way. Right? We have a better means to make our voice reach far. So as a result, we're not going to put our fingers in the ears anymore. The index finger, we're not going to do this anymore. We put it down and we give us up. Look, so many sunnah is leaving our life because we're so obsessed about the hikmah and the reason. So we need to stop looking for hikmah and reasonings because our mind and aql is always deficient. We have to understand it's a certain point in our life. At a certain point in our life, we have to say, "Bas, I am ajiz. I have to do as it is. And the purity of deen, our religion, the deen of Islam that came from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pure. And it is as it was at that time. There is no need to change anything. Maulana Abdul Hamid Saab, a teacher of ours in South Africa, used to explain to us, you know, when the child grows, right? The shoes, they say it becomes small. The shoes became small. Jute chote ho gaye. What's the reality? The shoes became small. The shoes didn't become small. The shoes are as is. It's your foot that became big. So there is something we have to understand, that the nazar of human being is always at the deficiency of the second person, not to himself. He doesn't see his own deficiencies. So now a foolish is going to cut his fingers off to make it fit the shoes. What he's going to do? Just get different shoes. Your foot is growing. In a similar manner, what we have to understand is that our deen remains. It's like that shoe. Even if you grow, you have to fit in this deen. You cannot get a different deen. You have to understand like that. Our deen is like that shoe. You want to get a different deen? You're looking into agnosticism, atheism. Go away. The sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to slowly, slowly leave your life. Janaze. Sunnat ke janaze milenge. Har garb. And there is no sunnah anymore. Why? Because we're all behind wisdoms. Hikmah. Isme hikmat ye hai. Hikmat wo hai. As a result, all the ahkam of Islam goes out of our lives. Khair, anyway. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَقْ بِزِيَادَ نِيهِ. I had so many things in mind to talk about. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala takes oath of the positions of the ayat in the Quran, that each ayat, there is a reason why it's put there. And this is a very big qasam. And this is put there from Al-Hakim. And this is that Quran. If you ponder, you will understand the greatness and the highness of this Quran. This is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is explaining over here. Quran and our aqal, our intellect, our understanding, our mind. Let's understand what is aqal, intelligence. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us His signs all around us. Within us, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, don't you see the signs of Allah within yourself? And then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us a hujjah of Quran. Quran hujjatul laka aw alayk. On the day of judgment, Quran will be a testimony for you or against you. You decide. So one hujjah Allah Ta'ala has given us within ourselves is our intellect, our aqal, mind. We're supposed to use it to understand and learn Allah, not to go away from Allah, because that is defeating the purpose. Second, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us ilmul wahi, that is Quran. And then that which is wahi, but not something which we recite, that is the sunnah. These are hujaj of sharia, hujja, through which we will understand and recognize Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. This intelligence that we have, as the sunnah is a hujjah, also the Quran is a hujjah, and also the aql that we have is also a hujjah. We are ought to use these things. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun." We have brought this Quran in Arabic so that you may use your intellect, your intelligence, to understand the oneness and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Let's understand, what does it mean by aql being a hujjah? What does it mean by that? Though Quran being a hujjah, we understand that very clearly. This is a dalil for us. On the day of judgment, it will stand against us if we did not follow it. But we have to use our aql also to understand the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, not just through Quran. And I don't want you to misunderstand this. That's why it's very necessary that I explain what I mean. There is a mas'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to explain, that let's say perhaps a person lives in the mountains. He never seen civilization in his life. Never ever seen it. And he never met anyone that lives around Quran and Sunnah. Let's put it this way. He never even heard of the Quran. Forget about the Sunnah. That's secondary. Never even heard there is a Quran, or there is a kalam of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, or there is a messenger. The question is he responsible of understanding the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Is he responsible of understanding the oneness of Allah? And I don't want you to answer this because I'm going to give you the answer. I didn't want you to get the wrong answer on this one. Yes, he is responsible. Based on what? What is his dalil? His dalil is zakah. That's his proof. Because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given him his intelligence, and through his intelligence, he has to understand the oneness of Allah tabarak. Although he will not be liable to establish and perform 5 times salah. He is not responsible of giving zakah. He is not responsible of keeping fast, but he is responsible of understanding that there is no deity worthy of worship except and besides Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He's responsible of doing that. And that's why his aqal is a hujjah. And this is why Allah, so thus what we have to understand is our aqal and intelligence through that, it is not just upon that person who lives in the jungle to understand the oneness of Allah. It is compulsory on all of us. We use the Quran to understand the oneness of Allah, and we have to understand it with our heart and mind and aqal. When we say aqal, before we go to that, on the day of judgment, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has to bring a person who was not a Muslim, a Christian, a Jewish, or let's say an atheist, why did you believe in Thalithu Thalatha? The Holy Spirit, the Son, and what? What's the other one? Why did you believe in this? These three entities, which are your God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the God, right? Why did you believe in this? So his answer would be, of course, when he will say to Allah, when I go to church and I listen to the priest, and this is what he preaches, and I understood that, not understood, I heard that and I believed it. Guess what Allah is going to tell him? Take a left to Jahannam. You can't take a right to go to Jannah. This is what Allah is going to tell him, right? Okay, let's bring a Muslim. Why did you believe in Allah's oneness and the finality of Rasulullah's prophethood? Why did you believe? He gives the same answer. Because when I went to the masjid, the Imam Sahib said so. So Allah is going to tell him, take a right to Jannah? This is double standards. You cannot believe in the oneness of Allah because Imam Sahib said so. You have to believe in the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through your intelligence, through your understanding. Allah ta'ala says, كَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. So many of the signs of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the skies and earth, and they continuously are negligent from it. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These are signs for people who have intellect. So we have to use our intellect to understand the signs of Allah and the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this intellect is then used to understand that this wahi of Quran has to definitely be from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So it's not going to be allowable. It's not going to be viable on the day of judgment for us to just take it for granted that I am born in a Muslim house. That's why I'm a Muslim. Why are you a Muslim? I'm born in a Muslim house. You have no idea why Allah Ta'ala is the one and only. No understanding. Is it compulsory, brothers, to understand the masail of aqidah and how Allah Ta'ala is the one and only? To understand that? Not to just believe it just like that. Because you heard so, we have to use our aqal. So Allah Ta'ala says, we have brought down this Quran in the Arabic language. And by the way, as a side note, the Arabic language is a language which brings intelligence in us. Makes you smart. It's very much like math, mathematics. You have to solve each sentence. You have to solve the problem. And you have to come up with the solution, how this sentence came to be. It's very much like mathematics. But it makes a person very intelligent. Arabic language. So this is just a side note. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, we brought down the Quran to you in the Arabic language, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you could be intelligent, so that you could use your aql. Where is this aql, by the way? This brings us to the last point regarding our aql. Where is our aql? Normally we say our aql is our brain. Understanding is our brain. This is how it's explained, of course, in science. Your brain, it processes certain things and it sends signals to the rest of your body. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says our aql is our heart, by the way. Lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha. This is the Islamic ideology. They have such hearts through which they don't understand. Such hearts, they do not utilize their heart to understand, to have faqahat. Fiqh is understanding. That is your intelligence. So this brings us to a reality. And that is, heart is where sincerity is, right? It's not going to be in your brain. That much we all understand. Sincerity is going to be in the heart. So when a person truly with sincerity wants to seek Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter in what position he is, he will get to Allah. Because intelligence is in the heart. The preservation of Quran throughout history has been a great struggle. Just because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has promised in the Quran, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the ones who brought down the Quran, and we are the ones who are going to preserve it. So does this mean that I'm going to go home and sleep and relax and Allah will protect the Quran? That's it, we have nothing to do? There's a responsibility. In preserving the Quran, there is a responsibility upon every single moment. And it wasn't that easy. In order to preserve the right aqidah regarding the Quran, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had to receive lashes upon lashes. Ali ibn al-Madini, the very, very close friend of Imam Ahmad and a very special teacher of Imam Bukhari as well. Imam Bukhari used to say that Ali ibn al-Madini, my teacher, when I sit in front of him, I feel like I don't know anything. That was Ali ibn al-Madini. So Ali ibn al-Madini, he told Imam Ahmad, his ustah, his friend, they were close friends. In rihla and in journey of ilm, they would be together. Ali said to Ahmad bin Hanbal, that, oh Ahmad, you went through all these lashes, so many lashes, thousands of them. If even one had to hit my back, I would die. If even one of them had to hit my back, I would die right away. Amount of struggle. So many ulama, scholars, they had to give their lives in trying to preserve the correct aqidah regarding Quran, where the Mu'tazilites, these people with evil agendas, they tried to bring in the ummah this idea that the Quran is, let's say, it is not Allah, this quality of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is something that is created. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's quality, Quran is a quality of Allah, is kalam. I'm speaking, right? This speech of mine is my quality, right? So when I'm sleeping, I'm not speaking. When I'm sitting, I'm speaking. And sometimes, you know, the Maulana, when he gets the mic, he speaks so much that you wish the mic wasn't there. You can't stop speaking sometimes until you go to sleep and then you stop speaking. So speech is my quality, a trait. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is also mutakallim, but does he speak like us? No, he doesn't speak like us. His kalam is different. Our speech is makhluq. Makhluq means what? Makhluq means that which has a beginning. Makhluq means that which has a beginning. So everything besides Allah has a beginning, right? So everything besides Allah is makhluq. So they used to say the kalam of Allah is makhluq. Very simple way I'm trying to explain to you. This is a mas'ala of aqidah, very intricate mas'ala. So they would say the Quran is makhluk as if it's the creation of Allah, as if it's not Allah Ta'ala's quality. They're separating it from Allah, or they're putting it with Allah, but they're saying Allah Ta'ala has certain things within his zat that are created. Na'udhu billah. So that would bring you to such a conclusion that is very deadly. And that is, na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala has a beginning. Na'udhu billah. So this is dangerous. And this takes away Allah Ta'ala from being Khaliq and Malik. So this belief that Quran is makhluq was a struggle that the ulama of the time, in those days, in the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were ulama slaughtered in trying to protect that the Quran is qadim, it has no beginning, kalam of Allah, and this sifat, this is the sifat, this is the quality and the trait of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, kalam. To preserve this, the ulama, they were killed, slaughtered, great, great people, they were hung up to a year, year and a half, 2 years, people's bodies were just hung. They were killed. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he stayed firm. And others who stayed firm were slaughtered. They were killed. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, why they didn't kill him? Because they tried. A couple generations passed, he was in jail. They tried to make him say it after, by beating him and whipping him and threatening him to death. Because if he, and he was the imam of the people, if he only could say that the Quran is makhluq, then at least the rest of the ummah after that would be in a doubt, right? The rest of the ummah would be in a doubt. And they would believe that the Quran is makhluq. As a result, people's aqeedah would be incorrect. Not just incorrect. Such aqeedah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, if a person believes Quran is makhluq, this is kufr. This is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's fatwa was. So the point here is the struggle. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was lashed so much that remains in his life till his death. He went through so much of struggle. It's unbelievable, my brothers. You should read the history and find out what happened to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and the scholars of the time. Many scholars, they had to leave. Some were threatened that the Khalifa is going to stop giving them nafaqah. Many, many stories, more than we can count. Nevertheless, just because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has promised the preservation of Quran doesn't mean there won't be challenges. And the challenges of preserving the Quran started from the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. As soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left from the world. When Abu Bakr Siddiq, first Umar came and he said, we have to put Quran in a book form. We have to write it down. Other Sahaba disagreed. That time, you wouldn't have anyone that had evil thoughts because still that golden era was there. It was not easy to put Quran in a book form. But putting it in a book form today, it made it so easy for us. But imagine, Quran was only in the hearts of people. Today, very few people would be Huffaz. It would probably be very difficult. One person in the whole country probably would be a Hafiz of Quran. But they put it in a book form. The struggle started from that time. And that struggle remains in every era. Until this era. And look at the struggle you're going through. Just to start a Hibs program, it's not that easy. And those who started the program over here from the beginning till now, you can testify how difficult it was. It was a very, very difficult task just to make it start going. This is khidma in the preservation of Quran. And in every era, there will be a struggle. And in every era, people will have to go through the struggle in order to preserve the Quran. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "Laysa minna man lam yataghanna bil Quran." That person who does not do the action of taghanni. What is taghanni? I'm going to explain. He's not among us of Quran. Taghanni normally means to recite Quran in a melodious form. How do you read melodiously? Melodious doesn't, when it comes to the Quran, doesn't only mean to recite the Quran in a way that sounds beautiful to the ears of the listeners. Because the listener may think the voice is beautiful, but this person is not reading with tajweed. And sometimes the tajweed is so bad that the namaz breaks. Imagine, just give you an example. Allahumma inni as'aluka qalban khashi'a, comes in the hadith, right? Dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka قلباً خاشعاً. والله give me a heart filled with taqwa and your fear of Allah. Right? Now this same thing, you don't know tajweed, so you recite, Allahumma inni as'aluka qalban khashi'a. What does that mean? Wallah, I ask from you a dog, not just a dog, but a frightened dog. Araba, at least if you have a dog to protect you, he has to be strong, right? But he's frightened. Wo bhi gaya. So imagine when you don't have tajweed, this is what happens. Imagine the delicacy of Arabic language in the Quran, the whole Quran. When a person doesn't read with tajweed, what happens? How he changes the meaning? Wakanat, one half his sabr is reciting that the entire para he recited, the last part, he recited so beautifully, the whole Taraweeh, 20 rakat, finished beautifully, no mistakes. Right at the end, he messed up, and he was reciting "Wakanat min al-qanitin," that Maryam, she was amongst the despondent ones. Ta, whereas the word is min al-qanitin with ta, but you instead of ta you recite ta. Ta means she was amongst the obedient ones. Qanit, qanata means to be obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The same word, you're reciting, وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ وَالطَّى. What happens? Your namaz breaks. Namazi turja. Such a meaning that if you had to believe, it would take you away probably from the fold of Islam. Such a mana it gives. So, Imam Jazri rahimahullah, in his book on Tajweed, which is called Muqaddima Jazriya, right in the beginning, it says Tajweed al-Huruf. Tajweed al-Huruf is hatmun lazimun. It's a compulsion on the entire ummah. Not just the children, my brothers. Every single one of us, old, young, middle age, old age, this struggle of learning Tajweed is compulsory on all of us. Every single one of us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you don't learn it, you're not among us. That doesn't mean that you go out of the fold of Islam and you become a kafir, but this is a dhamki from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by the way, there are many hadith like that. Just one hadith there is ikhtilaf about, that whoever leaves out a salah purposely, he goes out of the fold of Islam. That hadith, Imam Ahmad used to say, he's a kafir. He purposely leaves out salah. But rest of the ulama say he's not a kafir, but this is dhamki. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would give strong, strict warnings about a person who would do a certain thing. Like, let's say, for example, another hadith, لا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. A person who steals during stealing is not a mu'min. I mean, he's a kafir. So ulama explained that he doesn't really become a kafir as in he is a murtad. He apostated from Islam, but this is a dhamki from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he's warning us, you're not among us. Like when a father says to his son, if you do such a thing, you're not my son. So what does that mean? You didn't give him birth? Give him birth. You can't, just because you say he's not my son, now he's not your son anymore. You can say all you want, he's not, he's still your son. And then when you kick him out of the house, he'll tell you, dad, give me money for a hotel so I can rent a room for the night. He's still your son. Doesn't matter how much you say he's not your son. So like that, laysa minna. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you can't be my ummati if you don't learn how to read Quran with tajweed. So Imam Jazri says that tajweed al-huruf, learning tajweed of the Quran is hatmun lazim, is compulsory upon every single person. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّدِ الْقُرْآنَ آثِمٌ. And a person who does not learn the Quran with tajweed, he is a sinner. Athim, gunahgar hai. Such a person is a gunahgar, a sinful person. And the struggle of learning Quran with tajweed will remain at start. We don't have to come at the age of 65, 70, you know, and we say, okay, you know what, my tongue, I can't change this thing. Okay, fine. You cannot change the way your tongue moves. You cannot say ta, you can say ta maybe. You can't say qaf, you can't say ayn. Fine. But the struggle and the effort that you're not putting, that's not fine. Maybe you can't. Maybe it's true that it's very difficult for you. Which is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person who struggles in trying to recite the Quran will get double reward. As opposed to a person who recites Quran like water. Imam Sahib standing on the Musalla, subhanAllah. We love listening to him. Taraweeh time comes, we just tell the committee, bye, get us a good hafiz. Not just a good hafiz, nice reciter. So we are so obsessed about giving ease and soothing our ears. But giving ease and soothing our tongues by reciting Quran correctly, we're not ready for that. We want every hafiz to recite Quran correctly. But hum khud, ourselves, we forget. This compulsion is on all of us. Laysa minna man lam yataghanna bil Quran. Further on, ulama also explained that that person who yataghanna, another meaning, that person who learns the Quran and takes it to heart, after that he feels that it's still not sufficient for him. In other words, he's not content with the Quran. Like Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, رَضِينَا بِقِسْمَةِ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَالِ مَا. The dunya dar people, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given them dunya. The kuffar, the non-Muslims, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala talks about them. Allah ta'ala gave them so much because this is their tu'matun fi dunya. They don't have iman, whatever good deeds they do. If a person doesn't believe in Allah, chalo bas. This is the reward. Money, gold, silver, Allah will give it to you. And it doesn't, la ta'dilu inda Allah janaha ba'd. Doesn't even value the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of him. But Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, this taqseem and this distribution, the ummatis and the ahli ilm, I give you ilm, Allah says. The disbelievers and the people who does not want Allah and the ahli dunya, the dunya dar so-called, I give you dunya, money, wealth. But Ali radiallahu anhu says, I'm very happy with this distribution. Bahut khush hai, bahut razi. This mentality, if it doesn't come in a person that the Quran is perfect and it's sufficient for us, we are 100% ghani with the Quran. Yataghanna comes from the word ghina, ghani. That we are 100% satisfied with the Quran until this thing doesn't come in a person, he's not a complete believer yet. Every solution of every problem is in the Quran. We have to understand that and believe that from the depth of our heart. As time completes, as finishes up, I would like to just finish it up, cap it up with a couple of few quick nasa'ih. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, my brothers, he's going to complain about us. You know what he's going to say? Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. Oh Allah, my people have put this Qur'an and they made hijrah from it. You put it away. The Quran, what did we do? Taak mein rakh diya, mashallah, the cover is beautiful as well. So beautiful, sometimes made of gold. Sometimes you get it from King so-and-so of Qatar. Cover, you know, he gives gifts. Sometimes the King of Saudi Arabia gives gifts, very beautiful Qurans to the people. Mushaf, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, time will come, la yabqa min al-Qur'an illa rasma. Only reality of Quran that will remain is the rasm of Quran, the writing of Quran. That also in the mushaf. We'll never get the tawfiq of seeing it also. A time will come. And that time is here. When do we read the Quran? Probably if we get the tawfiq, then in Ramadan, a little bit. And if we get in a lot of josh, then we read the Quran in Ramadan, one khatam, inshallah. Eh? And then, mashallah, we're so happy with that khatam. We come to the Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib, my wife finished her khatam, Ramadan. I finished my khatam, make dua for us. Achi baat, eh? I'm not saying this is something bad. It's to encourage others as well. But to that extent, that's where the rites of Quran finishes. That's done. We're done with Quran now. We read the Quran in month of Ramadan. I'm talking about, we're not talking about amal of Quran yet. Just the recitation of Quran. A Muslim's day should not pass, my brothers, without opening the Quran and reading at least one page. At least. That much we cannot do. That much we cannot do. That we read one page every day at least. حفاظ القرآن will read 3 juz every day, inshallah. at least 1 juz, حفاظ القرآن have to recite every day. But people who are not حفاظ as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a consistency of reciting the Quran has to remain every single day, which is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah." Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says, "Iqra'u al-Quran ya ahl al-Quran." O people of Quran, stand with the Quran. Recite Quran in your salah. Awtiru. This is the words. Awtiru ya ahl al-Quran. O people of Quran, pray witr. This is the literal translation. Everyone prays witr. Why? Ahl al-Quran only, right? Witr means tahajjud salah. We're not going to get into the discussion of how many rakats witr and all that. But witr, a lot of the times in the hadith, it comes in the meaning of tahajjud salah. And this is a clear meaning. Awtiru ya ahl al-Quran. O people of Quran, men of Quran, stand up for tahajjud salah. Awtiru means that. So, Ahlul Quran, Khassatul Rahman, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Utlu ma uhiya. Recite. What is tilawa? Tilawa just doesn't mean to recite Surah Yasin after Fajr every day. Surah Yasin after Fajr every day, Surah Waqi'ah after Maghrib every day, Surah Mulk and Sajda after Isha before sleeping every day, Surah, or let's say, Ayatul Kursi after Fard Namaz, every Fard Namaz. This is Awrad, my brothers. Adhkar. This is not Tilawat of Quran. These are Adhkar. Even a woman who is in menstruation can recite Ayatul Kursi. Because this is a dhikr, this is not Tilawat. Whereas a woman in that condition cannot make Tilawat of Quran, right? Cannot make Tilawat of Quran. She cannot pray Salah. Because she's in the state of, she's in an impure condition. So all this is adhkar. Don't think that this is tilawat of Quran. Utlu means, tala yatlu in the Arabic language, means when something comes one after another with consistency. Yatluhu kada. So Zayd came right after him, Amr came right after him, Bakr came right after him, Abdullah came right after him. This is called tala ahadun al-akhar. This is Arabic. Allah Ta'ala says, make tilawah of the Quran. Tilawah of the Quran means with consistency, read from the beginning of Quran till the end of the Quran with consistency, all the time, every single day. Ye matlab, utlu ma uhiya. Recite, make tilawah of that which is revealed to you, O Nabi of Allah. Min al-kitabi, of the book. Wa aqim as-salah, and establish salah. Because tilawat of Quran and establishment of salah, they go hand in hand again. That's why awtiru ya ahl al Quran. O people of Quran, make tilawa. Recite Quran. So my brothers and elders, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Iqra'u al-Quran fa'innahu ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati shafi'an. Recite the Quran, it will come as a shafi'. It will remain with us from the time we die, when we close our eyes. The best friend we will have is the Quran. And it will stay with us in our qabr until it takes us to Jannah. To the gate of Jannah, it will take us. And it will make shafa'ah to Allah, that, oh Allah, this man used to recite the Quran. And this shafa'ah and intercession is such an intercession Allah Ta'ala will not deny. This is kalam. So my brothers and elders, huquq of Quran, the rights of Quran are much beyond what we can imagine. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill the huquq of Quran. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala not make us among those people whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would complain and say, these people has put the Quran behind their backs. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us and give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.